So scientifically, we are trying to understand how information which is written in the genome, how it orchestrates development, right? Development is how you get from a single cell a living organism, right? Very complex, thousands, millions of cells. Everything starts from a single cell. Every cell has the same genome, and the genome is basically a program, like a blueprint to build it up. I don't know if you guys have science background, I don't have to explain it in this way, right? So that's what we study. We are particularly interested in looking at it from the evolutionary standpoint, right? So if you look at animal diversity, you see enormous diversity of shape and form. There's a little bit less diversity in how development happens, right? How these adult forms come from development. But there is diversity there as well. And we study the patterns of that diversity. And so what we found out is that if you look at, if I would give you two embryos, one would be a human embryo and other one would be a cat embryo. If I would give you it at a specific stage of development, you would not be able to tell which one is which. And this is a very old observation which goes back to Ernst Haeckel, who has kind of saw it, maybe one of the people for the first time, right? And so that's interesting that stage is actually not at the very beginning of development, but it's somewhere in the middle of development. And there are many different ways how the single cell, the egg, gets to that point, right? And we are trying to study this.
You could see the difference between a human and a cat at the beginning.
Yes, there will be a huge difference in the size of the egg and the morphology and everything, right?
Okay, and a bit later.
When it arrives at the stage which is called so-called pharyngeal stage, the embryos are almost indistinguishable.
Do you have a picture of that?
Yeah. I can show you actually. I have the exact of that picture.
Can you describe it? I mean, it would be better for the audio, obviously.
One blob looking like this blob.
So which one? So this is cat, this is human, easy, right?
Okay. Yeah.
For the audience on the left hand, to see cat.
Okay.
So you have to be an expert, basically. I mean, an expert can tell, right?
Yeah.
But it's not so easy, right?
Yeah.
And so this comes really, you know, the guy who proposed it is this guy, but important thing is really Haeckel, right? So basically, you know these famous images, right?
Yeah.
So he was drawing this, and he would always say, okay, so these embryos early, those are all the different, I mean, these are all different vertebrate species, starting from fish, going all the way to man, right? He would notice that there is a huge similarity here. And this is actually, you know, it's not correct, right? Because he exaggerated the similarity, he was redrawing it from other people. And these embryos are very different sizes, so he scaled everything to look similar. And that's why he was also accused that he was faking it. He was not faking it, he was making schematic, right? But he was making a very important point, right? Because whatever you may think about evolution, whatever you might believe or not, right? This is common descent, right? You cannot deny it, right? Because these embryos are very, very similar, right? There is absolutely no way. If you don't know anything about genes and whatever, you look at this morphology, and this was 1800, right? If people look at that, you know, it's just like evolution is true because there is no denying it, right? I mean, we are highly evolved fish. That's the problem. All right. So anyway, but we studied this now much more elaborately. So we have basically imaging techniques which allow us to look at development with a high resolution following every cell. We are studying these patterns of divergence in insects. So there's a so-called hourglass model which says, you know, early development is different, adult forms are different. But there is a constraint stage, there is a so-called phylotypic stage through which all these animals has to pass, where they are very similar, right? And the interesting thing, which, you know, it's kind of philosophical, but nevertheless I like that idea, is that if you you accept that, you can actually start thinking about evolutionary origins a little bit differently, right? So this is a chicken and egg kind of dilemma thing, but if I would ask you, you know, which stage of development is going to be most similar, most people would tell me it's the egg stage, because everything has to start from the single cell, right? And that's the origin, you know, when life came up on Earth, right? Multicellularity had to develop by starting from a single cell, and then the cells were dividing and they started to cooperate with one another. So most people would assume that the beginning of multicellularity and of the animal life cycle is in the egg, right? But it doesn't have to be that way, because you can have multicellular organisms which are simply aggregating together from many cells, and we see such organisms today. Volvox, for example, or the amoeba, right? The social amoeba. They are single cells.
Volvox is famous, at least in Germany. Mm-hmm. At least in the school where I was. Yeah. I have no idea about all the other schools.
Yeah. So then what we are saying, this is where obviously storytelling, right? Because it's very hard to provide evidence for something which happened, you know, 650 million years ago, right? But basically what we are claiming is that this is a wrong way to think about it, you know. The most similar stage of animal development is somewhere in the middle of embryogenesis. It's a very kind of complex multicellular assembly. And because that hasn't changed, you know, for all the animals we are looking at, that's the most constrained, right? That's the thing which has been, on top of which all these additional things have been layered. And that's the foundation of development, and that's why they are so similar. So one should think about the egg as an innovation, as something which is extending the adult, right? But it's not the beginning. The beginning is the pharyngeal. So that's philosophy, but you know, we can reconcile it with the old guys, but I'm very serious about it, right? I study that, you know, in the field, pondering these questions of what came first, chicken or the egg, right? But by the way, the correct answer is that it's definitely the egg, right? If somebody asks you, because the birds come from dinosaurs and dinosaurs laid eggs, right? So all right, so that's some one aspect of what we do, yeah.
Are there other... So that's true for all vertebrates, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So, basically, the concept is as such that
at least for this kind of shape.
You have group of animals which have very different body plan, right?
Yeah.
And they are, in taxonomy, they are grouped into phyla. But it doesn't matter how you name it, right? The animals of one type, they will show early divergence, convergence to a phylotypic stage, which is typical for their body plan, and then they will diverge.
Yeah. But so, every phylum has one shape that is common to everything in the phylum.
Yeah. So every phylum has a phylotypic stage, and they are different from phyla, and they distinguish phyla. Right? That's what makes them fundamentally different. You know, that you cannot transform an insect into a vertebrate, right?
Yeah.
But you can evolve, you know, all kinds of insects within insects, right? Very diverse shape and form, right? But you cannot cross this border, which is so deep in history.
You cannot turn an ant into a spider.
Yeah, well, that maybe, I would say that's not such a big gap, you know. Maybe I wouldn't try that, but I would try to maybe modify development of a beetle so that it's more like a fly, right? That I would say it's close enough, you know, and the genome has a memory. I mean, or, you know, if the species split maybe 50 million years ago, right, all the regulation which they had in common, in the common ancestor, it is still there, right?
Yeah.
And so we are doing these kind of experiments. We take genes from one species and we put it into another, and we ask, you know, is the gene going to work in that species, right? And you would be surprised, in many cases it actually does work, you know. Even that was the most amazing experiment which people did recently. Even if you take human genes and you put them in yeast, okay, in a Baker's yeast, which is a unicellular organism, right? About 2/3 of the genes which you transfer from human into yeast, they work in yeast. You know, you knock out the yeast gene, you put a human one, it works.
I mean, both work with DNA and.
Yeah.
It's the same mechanism, I guess.
Yeah, but the gap is enormous, you know. It's like really, yeah. It's billions of years actually in this case. You know?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. To me, it seems like yeah, it's all essentially the same kind of chemistry. It's the same kind of proteins. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's the same basic tools.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not all that surprising to me, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of different things have to deal with how to split DNA, duplicate it.
It's true.
And so
it's true.
On.
I mean, definitely, life on Earth as we know it, what we discovered until now, all has the same basis as you described, right? But that I am actually still optimistic that we maybe find also another life, you know, hopefully on another planet, but maybe even here.
Okay.
All right, perfect.